Good morning to each one. It's a blessing to be here, blessing to be with you. Shall we stand together, pray? Let's bow our heads. Our loving Father in heaven, thank you for your love today. Thank you for your great mercy that you continue to shower upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in spite of a world that is groaning, that we can have peace with you. May we all endure truly to the end to be saved. And I just pray that this morning as we share together, as we look at your eternal word, that you would give each soul that's here the encouragement that we need to continue to press on in the faith and the blessing of God in our lives. Father, we look to you today. We also pray for the many souls in Haiti that are affected by this earthquake. Lord, would you not extend your grace and your mercy to that heathen culture and country, and may more turn to the light of the glorious gospel through this sad event of an earthquake. We commit them to you, and we now commit our lives to you. May you have your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can turn in your Bibles for a starting passage of Scripture to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I would have to say this morning that I have been privileged to be part of the discipleship class group most of the way through, the young souls that have committed their lives to Christ, and in 3 weeks, I believe it is from today, they will be, Lord willing, baptized, and we're looking forward to that time. But I would have to say that my burden and my thoughts have been towards them, have been towards this group and towards all of us together. As a result of that, I have chosen to share the message that I have on my heart. I think I'm going to read a couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians 10, and then I will go on. 2 Corinthians 10, and I will read 3 through 5, familiar verses to us. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, it's a blessing for a soul with a free heart that has made a choice to follow Jesus. And it's a blessing. And we're looking forward to that. When we read this passage of Scripture, there's some interesting military-like language in this passage. I would just have to say that we noticed that. I'd also like to comment, just by way of introduction, working closely with a young man for quite a length of time and having a recent conversation with this person. I said, "Brother so-and-so, tell me, how are you really doing?" He said, "Well, right now," he said, "I'm coasting. I'm coasting." We were relating to spiritual things. And I'd just like all of us just to consider these verses in our Christian life. Does coasting fit? Are we going to one day coast our way into heaven? I'd like us to think about that a little bit in the context of these verses. I'd like this morning to be able to share some things with us as a congregation, particularly with the group that is going to be baptized, for us to give some things for consideration. I see far too many people at an early age develop strongholds in life that will affect them through life. And that's sad. I see a lot of that happening. And that we don't have to be intentional about that. That will happen if we coast our way through life. May I suggest that to us? I have two different things I see in this passage this morning, and I'm not going to focus so much on verse 4, but I'd like to comment about it. It says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds." And I believe that to be a truth. I believe the Word of God is powerful, And I believe we can be delivered and free from strongholds. And that would be a message in itself. But this morning, that isn't my primary focus. My primary focus is verse 5 that says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'd like to talk to us this morning about the Christian and his thoughts. The Christians and his thoughts. This scripture indicates to us here, casting down imaginations and those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I recognize we live in a real world where there's many people that are struggling with strongholds. And if that would happen to be you this morning, there is hope for freedom and deliverance of those strongholds. But this morning, primarily, my burden is for the blessing of the purity of young people and the ability with our thought life to be protected and to be spared from some of those strongholds that can so quickly come upon our lives. This morning, to illustrate this, and this isn't totally original with me, I heard it before, but I'd like to consider this morning our minds a bit like a filter. I'd like to consider our minds this morning a bit like a filter. You know, there's a lot of things that come into our minds. And if we internalize them in our minds, it eventually affects and reaches our heart. Our minds can run rampant to many, many places. Our minds run rampant and thoughts of all kinds of thoughts come, you know. And it's our choice what we do with those thoughts when they come. And I'd like for us to consider this morning our minds a bit like a filter. And I'd like to explain it this way. And I've heard this is a little bit the way I heard it illustrated one time. But, you know, today we live in a day where a lot of us have phones. And it depends on how our phones are protected or not protected, or if we have on our phone to protect from these things happening or not. But depending on what for phone you have, there many times there's things that come on your phone or even computer at home. And I am minded to do something about my computer at home. I'm pretty sure there's something I could download on it. But when I do connect to online, it's very typical to have all kinds of advertisements coming. They just come. If we don't have a special protection on the computer, they can come so fast that I just keep my pointer at one place, and I kept hitting the button, delete, 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 as they come until finally they stop and then it's over. I don't know what's up with that. Somebody could probably help me with that, but I do plan to do something about that. But for the sake of illustration, isn't that a little bit how it is in our minds? We can be bombarded with all kinds of things, and we have to take those thoughts captive. We have to take those thoughts captive before they come in and affect our heart in a negative way. And that's just reality the way it is as we're going through life. We have all kinds of things that come. And, you know, we spoke about them a little bit this morning. You know, first of all, there's all kind of perverted things that can come into our minds that we need to take those things captive. The visual scenes or whatever they might be when we drive the road, or billboards or whatever it is. We have to take our thoughts captive and be in control of where our eyes go and the things that come into our minds and what we do with them. And then also there is the world events. Brother Carl shared some of the happenings in world events. You know, our hearts can become fearful pretty quickly depending on where we let our minds go. And that's another thing that I think it's important that we take control of our minds. We can become fearful. And so this morning I'd like to think about our minds in that kind of a context. I've heard it stated this one time, and you may have heard this one before. Man is not what he thinks he is, but what he thinks is what he is. It's something like that. I don't have it possibly quite right. But man is not what he thinks he is, but what he thinks is what he is. Think about that for a little bit. And I think the scripture that would actually fit with that is Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you see, it's very important, I believe, the things that we allow ourselves to think. You know, I think if we think good or bad thoughts, let's just look at an example of this. If we think good or bad thoughts about a person, maybe because of a given situation, whatever it might be, but if we think good or bad thoughts about a person for long enough, at some point it will likely begin affecting how we relate to that person. It's just the way it works. It's the way it works. And I think it's important that we take control of our minds. You think about something long enough, it often does. You know, we live in a world, and I'm guessing probably most of you already heard it stated this way, that conspiracy theories that are running rampant in our day-to-day, and some of them are true, some of them I suppose are true, a lot of them probably aren't true, but someone called it the second pandemic, is the conspiracy theories. And I find it interesting how many people are swallowed up with some of the conspiracy theories, and it literally consumes them. And maybe you're one of them, and maybe I'm too anti some of those things that are happening in the world. I don't know, but I think there is other things that we can fill our minds with other than worrying about what is conspiracy and what isn't. And I think we heard Carl share some of those things, and I will likely share some of those things too. So good or bad thoughts about someone. You know, fearful thoughts. If we let fearful thoughts about what is happening to our world and we roll them around in our minds enough, it will begin to affect our heart. It will begin to affect our heart. And I think those are thoughts that it's healthy for us to consider taking captive and taking control of those thoughts. You know, we can have amazing thoughts of inferiority about ourselves. And one of the reasons I share that was me in a huge way. As a young boy growing up, I had incredible thoughts of inferiority about myself. Some things that I would be almost embarrassed to share with me. You can ask my wife sometimes. She married me in the state of all those feelings of inferiority. And yet, I'm so thankful how God has led me through those things. But you know, when we let certain feelings or things about ourselves that we rationalize in our mind, it can begin affecting our heart. And I'm going to encourage us this morning to let's be careful with where we allow our minds to go. So this morning I'd like to talk some about our mind, our heart, and I know it's very difficult to separate the mind, the soul, and the heart, and how we think, and it's all part of our internal being. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. So this morning, this verse indicates the heart, soul, and mind. But this morning, as we're going along here, I am referring mostly to our mind and our thoughts. And Scripture talks a lot about our minds and our thoughts. And it's not always the easiest to tell. Sometimes it talks about thinking. Does it say with our heart? I think I have a Scripture here a little bit later that refers to that. So sometimes it's not always real clear. But I'm thinking this morning largely of our thought process. The natural mind left to himself in a negative sense. There's a lot of verses that refer to where the natural mind left to himself, unregenerate in its state. And I don't know that we need to look all these references up this morning, but maybe just a few of them. There's a scripture that talks about, and I'm referring here to our mind. It talks about having blinded minds. It talks about corrupt minds. 2 Timothy 3:8 says, Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Do these also resist the truth? Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. And then in Genesis 6, where it's referring to as it was in the days of Noah, it says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. There it talks about the thoughts of the heart. But nonetheless, it's the thought process. And here we had a society that man had strayed so far from God, and it was where the society went, much like ours today, as it was in the days of Noah, I believe, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Man's thoughts are evil continually, and that's the generation that we live in. Romans 1:28 refers to a reprobate mind. It says, Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And I find it interesting, reprobate mind in the Greek means a worthless mind, a mind that doesn't work. And that's where the unregenerate mind and mankind goes just by nature. So this morning, if we have a healthy mind or a transformed mind, we're blessed. We're very blessed. We're very blessed to be able to think through things this morning. And then we look at the renewed mind, or the renewed mind would mean renovated mind. According to Romans 12, it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Having a renewed mind is a mind that is renewed back to its original state. And I'm thankful this morning that we can have a renewed mind. 1 Peter 3:1 says, pure minds. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you to both stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. I think Brother Gillen this morning was talking about purity. And we're blessed because of Jesus Christ this morning to be able to have a pure mind. And so Scripture talks a lot about our mind. About our mind. And so that's what we would like to look at this morning. Think about our mind and our thought processes. Do you have this morning a transformed mind? So this morning we want to look at this whole passage again at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10. Says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So these things speak this morning of the importance of each one of us taking personal responsibility, what and how we allow ourselves to think, to protect us and to protect our heart. That's my encouragement to us this morning. It indicates a spiritual battle. In 3 weeks, these young men will, Lord willing, step into the water and be baptized, young men and young ladies, with a pure heart. And I guess that is my burden this morning, as I said, the importance of continuing and keeping our heart clean by filtering those things that we allow ourselves to think about and to consider. You know, I wish I could tell the young folks that have committed their lives to Christ that the struggle and the battle is over. You made your choice to follow Jesus. Now you can just coast along. But we all know this morning that that is not the reality. Now, the last thing I would want to do is paint a gloom and doom picture that you might make it, you might not make it. This is a struggle. This is a battle. It's not, but it is a battle against the flesh. It is a battle against the flesh. And the decisions and the choices that we make, what we allow to filter through our minds or not filter through our minds. And you know, it's only us that can see what those thought processes are. We can't, it's not exposed to everybody else, and we can't push a button or pull a lever to try to stop whatever thoughts you have in your mind. Each one of us is in charge of our minds, what we allow ourselves to think about or not think about, where we allow our minds to go or not go this morning is important, and only we can make that choice. And this morning, you know, I trust those that are going to be baptized here in several weeks. I trust that you are walking and living in the fear of God, and I trust that you have committed your life wholly and completely to Jesus Christ. I trust that you are not living in any known sin, and as a result of that, your relationship is clear. I wish I could say the first time I'll say I was baptized, it was that way. It was not that way. My thoughts and my minds was 1,000 miles from Christ. But I trust, as that happens in several weeks, that you have a clear heart and a clear mind, a clean slate, we call it, and it can stay that way. It can stay that way. And so I'd like to give us the encouragement this morning, the importance of having a clean mind, clear mind. This is an inward battle that we're in charge of, and only we can keep it clean. Those things that we allow. Let's look at Romans 7. You can turn there to Romans 7. Now, Romans 7 here is an interesting chapter where Paul is talking about the law and how the law exposes sin, and how about this incredible inward struggle is taking place. And then he goes down through, I think I'll just read 23 through 25. It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing it into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he sees here and concludes of this. He says, but I see another law warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity against the law of sin, which is in my members. This morning, I'd like to encourage all of us that we all have that law of sin that's warring against our members. And it's easy to let those things infiltrate in through to our heart, through our minds. Sin is always lurking at the door. And I would like to encourage us this morning to allow ourselves to be careful the way we think and the way we process things in our minds. I'd like to just think about several scriptures, especially thinking of here again, the young men and the young ladies and where we're going as far as baptism and so forth. You know, the things that we think, the decisions that we make, oftentimes, you know, when we see a soul making a choice to go in a direction toward the world or whatever it is, many times it starts as a thought process. I'd like to think a little bit about, you know, we know in Genesis the scripture that says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and I'd like to think that, you know, Lot probably didn't just one day decide he's going to do that. I would suggest it was probably a thought process that he began rolling around in his mind and thinking about and thinking about. I know I'm doing some assuming here and thinking about, and eventually his tent was pitched towards Sodom. And you know, if our tent this morning is pitched towards Sodom and we're thinking about the world out there or whatever it might be, and we roll those things around in our mind, and eventually, like Lot, we will end up there. Eventually, Lot ended up in Sodom because his tent, I believe, was pitched towards there. And you know, I see many young people today that, you know, we can very easily become enamored by the things of the world. We can very easily become enamored by the same appeals of the world. As it says here in Romans 7, it talks about the flesh, the wrestle and the struggle against the flesh. And this morning, I'm going to encourage us to consider those things, especially as young people. What direction this morning do we have our tent pitched? Luke 15. Let's turn to Luke 15 for a moment. And I'd like to just let our minds wander a little bit on another incident that is a very familiar one to us. And I'm not going to read the entire account of this parable in Luke 15:9, but it's very familiar to us. And I'd like to just let our minds go this morning, especially as young people, and think about it. And he said, that is Jesus, and we have the parable here of the prodigal son. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave him. It feels a little odd to leave off reading there, but I think we all know the rest of the story of the prodigal son's journey home. But the reason I read that portion this morning of the prodigal son, and I know I'm doing a little bit assuming here like I am with Lot, but I don't believe for myself that one day the prodigal son decided, you know what, Dad, I want my money, I want my inheritance, and I want to leave home. And I want to go out there and I want to just enjoy the world. I'm going to suggest to us this morning that I doubt very much that that was the incident. I have to read it here again exactly how it says it. It kind of gives a little bit that idea. But I would like to think this morning that the prodigal son probably was doing this. He was looking out there and he was gazing. I wonder what all is out there. I wonder what all is out there beyond the walls of my home. I wonder what all is out there that I could enjoy. I wonder how much of my inheritance and what that inheritance could all do for me out there. I'd like to think that that was probably the thought process of the young prodigal son. And eventually, he had no idea. In that thought process, I don't think the prodigal son had any idea where it would take him. And the reason I have this burden this morning, you know, there has been far, far too many young men who walked out around this building and young ladies and stepped into the water. And today they're in the hog pen. They're in the hog pen. Had no idea where they would go. Had no idea where they could go. We live in a day, in an age, where I think we are bombarded. The church is bombarded. Young people are bombarded with many things. I don't know where I would be at today. And here again, this sounds a little doom and gloom. I don't believe it. I believe for every age. In fact, this isn't the message this morning, but I think it's 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it gives the whole list of the of our day. It's what it's talking about, of our day. But it just recently hit me as I was musing on that whole chapter. It concludes with a beautiful scripture. And if I think I can quote it right, it says all scripture. I think that's where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for, it goes on and concludes. And then it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And I want to tell us, church, this morning, that passage gives me hope for our society and every young man and every young lady here. The Word of God is enough. And the Word of God will keep us every generation. Now, I can still make the statement that I made. I don't know where I would be if I would have been bombarded with the things that we're bombarded with today. But I believe when we have a settled conviction in my heart that I am going to live for the kingdom of God, this world has nothing to offer. This world has nothing to offer. Wouldn't it be a blessing if every young man and every young lady could just make a trip to the hog pen and look at it? Maybe sometime you ought to do that. It's a terrible place. It's a terrible place. But that is where this world will lead and where this world will go. I referred to a scripture early on here about this godless society is blinding our eyes. Corrupt minds. The corrupt mind is a mind that is blind and does not have the ability to think. This morning, if we have the ability to think, we're very blessed. The God of this world will blind the minds of many. I'd just like to give us some encouragement this morning to guard our minds and our hearts where it goes. Especially young people, this world has nothing to offer us. You know, young people can think about, and you can name whatever it is, for a long time. And if we allow our thoughts to go towards something for a long enough time, often we will end up there, or we will have it. It just goes that way. And I think we can think practically this morning. There is a lot of things that allure this young generation. You name it. A lot of things out there. Young boys that we can let our hearts pan after. And I wouldn't say they're all wrong. You know, there's some things, you know, going back to the illustration of the desktop on your computer, it comes across your screen, but it doesn't have to get down to the hard drive. We can hit the delete button. There are many things like that. Many things pop into our minds. That thing out there, I'd like to have it. We can push the delete button. And it'll come again, and we can push it again. That's how life is. And you know, some of those things that come across the desktop, they're somewhat neutral. You know, it's not really a here nor there. It's just one of those things that life, you know, there's opportunities in life, there's things we can do in life, and some neither here nor there. I think it's important that we have the peace of God that passes understanding when we make our choices in life. But there's some things that are playing down. It's the world. It's the world or whatever it is. And we can delete it from our minds and not let it roll over and over in our minds and eventually end up there. I think it was the case of the prodigal. So may God help us. Now I'd like to look at 2 Thessalonians 2. And now I'm going to go down a little bit of a different vein. Not to take away from the seriousness, and I encourage especially the young folks here to consider those things. The world, all of us, has nothing to offer us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're talking about our minds. And here we have an interesting passage, and I'm going a little bit down the vein of what Brother Carl was talking about. We see another mind in this chapter, chapter 2, verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Maybe I'll just go ahead and read about 12 verses here at the beginning of the chapter. It's referring to similar events of what I think was suggested to us in Matthew 24 this morning. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye be, and by our, let me start over. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together of Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As the day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, and that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and lying and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, and they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here we have another passage, a little bit similar to what Carl read as I had shared. It talks about some of these end time events and things that will likely happen, and we don't know how it's all going to come to pass, but I believe it's referring here to the uprising of an Antichrist, and we know that it's likely that we as God's people may go through some interesting times yet. We know yet that, and we realize that, and we recognize that, and I don't think we have to be fearful of that, but I think we can be trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my encouragement. But verse 2 here says what is very likely, and apparently was their reality, and it's very likely it can happen to us. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. And I'm not quite sure that I fully comprehend the context of everything that's happening here, other than verse 1 does refer to them believing that the coming of the Lord Jesus was nigh. It seems that way, and they were concerned about that. And isn't it interesting that here we are nearly 2,000 years later, and it hasn't happened yet. And back there, 2,000 years ago, they were shaken in mind and concerned about some of those things and how that's all going to work out. I don't know what all the thought process was here, but I guess my point this morning is recognizing that we can become shaken in mind with these kind of things. But, you know, isn't it a blessing that we can just give those things to God, and that we be careful how we get overly concerned about those kind of things, but rather simply strengthen our relationship with God and completely devote ourselves to the kingdom of God. And, you know, if God does have suffering for the Christian, then God is going to give us grace for that kind of suffering. In fact, there's another verse in Hebrews 12:3. You don't need to turn there. It says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye become wearied and faint in your mind. You know, isn't it only right that we sometimes, from time to time, as we think about things that are happening in our world and the unknown future, that we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize and consider him who endured such contradiction of sin against himself, lest ye become wearied and faint in your minds. And if God allows us to endure some suffering, God will give us the grace for that. He endured suffering. It has been part of the history of the Christian church for many years that sometimes we suffer. But we can trust God for that and not let our minds be soon shaken as was theirs in this situation. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. And I'd like to build upon that just a little bit further along the same line of just having our hearts encouraged. And I know I'm going down a little bit of a different vein than what I was earlier when we were talking about protecting our minds from the way we think and some of those desires to just having a resting heart in what God has for His children. Luke 12, 22 through 34. Familiar scriptures here to us, but we're going to go ahead and read it. Luke 12, 22. And He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not thy life more than meat, and thy body more than raiment? Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Beautiful verse. And which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Which of you by worrying about these things in life can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. I think I'll leave off reading there. So in verse 29 it says, Seek not ye what ye shall eat or drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. You know, in the light of the context of world events, it would be easy to have a doubtful, fretting mind, but we this morning can have a trusting mind. He tells us to consider several times. He says, consider the ravens. They sow not, neither do they reap. They don't have storehouses nor barns, yet God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than they? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amazing. And he gives us the instructions, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking God this morning? Do we love His Word? That is what is going to keep us in the narrow way. It's the Word of God. Young people this morning, I would encourage you to learn to develop a love for the Word of God. That is what is going to keep us complete, perfect, as it says, in need of nothing. Do we love His Word? Where is our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, I'd like to look yet at several thoughts in Philippians 4, if you want to turn there. These are just some beautiful verses relating to this subject. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Some more instructions for us this morning about worry. You know, the mind is just prone to worry if we just let it run. And Lord, help us this morning. We have some things here that we can consider. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, beginning at verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Isn't that some precious promises there? And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, if you find yourselves fretting in life, or over concerned in life, or over anxious in life, or becoming worried in life with some of the realities that are happening in this world, it's good for us to go back and say, now, am I living the reality of these verses? Because these verses, I believe, when we practice it, is promising peace for the Christian. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. He says, be careful for nothing, meaning be anxious about nothing. I desire to live a life of peace like that. You know, sometimes I allow my heart to get that way. I'll just be honest with you, I can do that. And I'm supposing, if we're all honest with ourselves, sometimes we look around and wonder, what's our world going to become? And so sometimes I think we probably all find ourselves there. But you know, these verses here this morning tell us that they don't have to. I desire to live like this. You know, when we become weighed down with an issue or something that we might be facing, or a mountain that's laying before us, you know, we can raise the question, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, have I given that thing to God? Have I given that thing to God? We can have peace. And you know, this morning, sometimes it's bad things that happen to good people, but those things that happen, we can give it to God, I believe, and have peace. And have a grateful spirit. You know, I believe this morning a grateful spirit goes a long way. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, I'd like to recommend to us this morning, aren't we truly a blessed people? You know, we just really have a lot to be thankful for. It's so easy to dwell on the negative things around us, but let's just consider the many blessings that we continue to have. I see Sister Rhoda sitting over here single, and I remember we were on our way back from West Virginia when we heard of Moses passing. And on the way home, I was thinking, I wonder what's going to become of the Church of Ephrata. And here we are today. We're meeting together. The peace of God is with us. And I think we can be thankful. Of course, we're sad for Moses passing. But you know, God is with us. And I think sometimes we just need to learn to be more thankful in the good things of God. And may I suggest to us, there are many. And there's still many. You know, we can look at the negative things that are happening in our world, or we can look at the positive things that are happening in our world. You know, there's still souls being saved. There's still people that are choosing to follow Jesus, that are walking the narrow way. The gospel is still going out. Christian Aid down here is doing amazing things affecting the world. And you know, that is where we're going to find the peace of God, when we can see what God is doing. I think that's part of loving the Lord with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and devoting our lives to the kingdom of God. That is what's going to give us peace. That's what's going to give us peace this morning. The peace that passes understanding, as this scripture says, will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ. I would suppose some of you probably heard of this already, where there was a man who asked two different artists to draw a picture of peace. Have you? Any of you ever heard that? Some of you probably did. There was a man who asked, if I have it correct, two artists to draw a picture on a board of peace. And the one artist, he went to the board and he just drew, and I don't remember what all it was, but it was just a beautiful scenery, you know, beautiful mountains, maybe a lake in the front of it, whatever it was, just a beautiful picture. And you can look at that and you can, you know, a perfect peace right there. Just a beautiful, beautiful scenery. The other artist, he drew a picture of something similar, but it was a terrible storm, and it was just blowing wind, and it was lightning, and it was thunder, and just a picture of, you could look at that and say, chaos. But then there was a cleft in the rock where there was a bird perched out of the wind on a log or a stick or something like that. And to him, that was a picture of perfect peace. And is that not how it is today in our world? You know, our world can be chaotic, but it's a matter of where we find ourselves. Perfect peace in a troubled world. Most of us would look at this picture over here and say, now that's a beautiful picture of peace. But I would like to think this picture over here is a beautiful picture of peace, because it's all the chaos around it. But yet it was an incredible, peaceful little piece of that picture. And is that not how it is in the Christian life today? May that give us some encouragement. Well, I'd like to just draw some encouragement yet from this last verse here that we're looking at in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, of course, in a real world, there's times that we have to take a look at things that maybe aren't the most pleasant. But I think this is talking in this verse about the general thought processes of people. Things that are true. Things that are true. Real or correct. Confirming with reality or fact. Genuine, not pretend, sincere or factual. You know, let's learn to be people who think about things that are true as it relates to where we let our thoughts go. You know, isn't it true that in just real general society, we hear many things. We hear many things, and there's many things that we hear that we can just push that button and excuse it from our mind. You know, I'd like to just mention young people. You know, people talk. Older people talk. You know, did you hear about so-and-so? Is it true? We don't know if it's true. We don't have to worry about it. Things that are true. Things that are genuine. Things that are accurate. And then it's honest, just, and pure. Think about things that are honest, just, and pure. Honest, I think it was the word honest that I discovered other places it's translated grave, or things that are honorable. And you know, if we could just be a little bit practical about that, you know, it's very easy, if we're not careful, to get a laugh out of a good joke that maybe is a little bit coarse. And then we have to deal sometimes with the reality, and I know especially this is a temptation with young people, of getting a good laugh out of something that's maybe borderline fringing on a coarse joke. And then we have to worry about, is this thing getting passed on? You know, if we would just be mature enough and wise enough when we hear those kind of things, and if it fringes to that side, just hit the delete button. Things that are honest, things that are pure, and things that are just. Remember, we're talking about our minds being like a filter. Our minds being like a filter that we can protect our heart from those kind of things. May God help us. Fools make a mock at sin. You know, I thought about this passage and my mind went to this. I was debating whether I want to say this or not, but I think it would be okay to say it. You know, thinking about things that are just, things that are pure, things that are honest, things that are lovely. You know, I don't know what the position of some of you is, but I would have to wonder, you know, about secular movies or watching movies. Are movies generally true, honest, pure? Even Christian movies, I wonder if they would fit the description that we see in these verses when there's so many better things to fill our minds with. So many better things to fill our minds with. So many better things to fill our minds with the Word of God. And I wonder, you know, I just let my mind wander this morning, that's all I'm doing. But I wonder, those that would enjoy sitting down and enjoying a movie, I wonder what the devotional life might be like. I wonder how well we are in the Word of God. Our hearts are being encouraged. I just had to wonder as I looked at this verse and thought, I just put it out there. I felt God would have me to do this as I was considering over this morning. Things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. You know, if we really practiced this verse, wouldn't it just totally take care of gossip? Wouldn't it just totally take care of gossip? Gossip that gets passed on and goes places it does are often things that are not of good report. Mind, think about good report. If there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. I desire more of this for my own life. And those things, Paul says, that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace can go with us all the way through life. And I know it's all a result of our heart, but this morning I'm thinking in the context of our minds and what we allow to penetrate down here in our hearts. Because Scripture said it's out of the things that come out of the heart, those are things that defile the man. And is it not so much better if we never let those things in our heart and we fill our hearts with the Word of God, which is my last and closing verse, is Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. So what is going to keep our thoughts pure? What is going to keep our hearts pure this morning? It's the eternal Word of God. And it's the eternal Word of God that will see the church through when times are difficult, that the man of God may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. How many of you have ever played with turkey dogs? All right. Was this our generation? Children, how many of you have ever played with turkey dogs? Wow, I'm going to have a children's lesson with turkey dogs sometime. I want to draw something on the board up here. If I can find a marker that works. So Brian shared some powerful things this morning that I think are very, very, very good realities. And they have practical outworkings. And I appreciate the practical outworkings that he brought to us this morning. And he talked about our minds being pure towards God and our minds being holy and our minds being cleansed and all of those things. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, well, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now doesn't that almost perfectly encapsulate the thing that Brian was laying out for us here this morning? And that scripture is one that we so often use as an anchor point for the doctrine that we call nonconformity, or not being conformed to the world, or separation from the world. But you know, there's a transformative element in there that I think we often miss, and that's what Brian was going after this morning. The renewing of your mind. So if we have, I don't have the other mic, so I'll talk loud. If we have the force that's in this world is driven by self, right? The opposing force is God, and we're in the middle. So you make a choice. To who am I going to present myself? Which way is your mind oriented this morning? And you really do have a choice with this. And as Brian brought out, all of the things that we face, whether it's worldly lusts, worldly desires, when you're looking out there and wondering, what's out there? Well, let me tell you, there is nothing out there for a soul that's once known God. And there's so many testimonies. But yet, we're tempted to look at that and wonder, but what is the motivating driver of everything that's out there in this world? Isn't it self? It is. And God calls us to something different. Now, the reason I mention tricky dogs is this. Those of you who are playing with tricky dogs, it's just magnets. That's all it is. So if you have your lead dog here, and you put the other dog here, and if you had another dog there, It's going to depend which one you get closest to as to which way it orients, right? The head of the dog always swings towards the one that's closest to. So I'd like to ask this morning, as we think about Brian's message and our minds being renewed, what choice are we willing to make as far as where we put ourselves? And if you find yourself struggling with the flesh, young people, or carnal desires, or maybe addictions, or whatever it is, you have a choice to make. Draw nigh to God. Turn your mind towards Him. Turn your focus there. It's just a choice you can make. And you'll find your mind being renewed and drawn in that direction. Maybe someone else has some thoughts you'd like to share in the message. Brother Ted, you can get a microphone.
Well, it's good to be here today. It's such a blessing. I appreciated the messages to Brother Steve and Steve there, Sports Introver. Brother, you can come up and you can read us 6 or 8 or 12 verses anytime you want. It was just wonderful, just sitting here. And I kept thinking, what is happening today? And my thought was, well, this man is bathing us in the Word. And that's such a blessing. And the way you read it was so understandable. Appreciate that. And then the message here with Brother Brian. Well, you know, there's practical messages that we hear from this pulpit from time to time. And sometimes we hear very practical messages. And then today we heard Brother Brian, and he certainly raised the bar. Every sentence, everything he said, I thought to myself, I can take that home. I can hide that in my heart. I can do that. Why am I not doing this and doing that? And then I started to look at a couple of scriptures that, see if I can just find one here, that were so apropos to what was being said today. And I like this. Just, I could go on and on. And this particular verse, but I won't because of time. But it says here, if then you were raised with Christ, well, you can't be raised with Him until you die to Him. So after you die to Him, and this for our young people, I am assuming that you've died to yourself and to Him and with Him, and now you're being raised with Him. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And I've asked myself, well, what are things above? What are those things I can seek that are above? Well, Christ is above. You can seek Him. Jesus Christ is there. And heaven is above. And eternal rewards are above. And the angels are above. But what Brother Brian brought home today was things that are above, well, things that are true, those things are above. Things that are honest, seek honesty, those things are above. Things that are pure, those things are above. Things that are lovely, those things are above. Things that are just, those are things that we can seek that are above. So, Brother Brian, I thought it was just such a blessing, and you blessed my heart and many hearts that are sitting here today. So God bless you and your sweet wife, and you have a blessed week, and you do something today and do something this week that only a Christian would do.
Amen, Brother Ted. Thank you. Brother Ian and Brother Galen.
I had a few thoughts on this also, especially the thing with Lot and the prodigal son. So you think about them, what happened? They were going along with normal life. Lot was probably prosperous. Well, the prodigal son, too, in the shadow of his father. You know, were prosperous people going along. Life was healthy. Life was good. But there was a little window of discontent or not quite satisfaction. And they got to thinking, I think there might be something better. You know, and they started their minds started just sort of shopping around and wandering around. And it's interesting. I don't know it in King James. I don't have it called up. I guess I do have it called up here. But in James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? We think, well, I'm not guilty of lust, maybe. You know, that's too radical, that's too extreme. That's like I'm not guilty of bank robbery or, you know, anything like that. But it's just those desires that keep feeding away that can draw us and pull us just through our pondering. And that gets to another thing, too, is the whole idea of meditation. We're built to meditate, but on to good things. But it's when we start feeding on this other stuff. You know, we have that little talker inside that just keeps talking to us. What's he saying? Or she's saying, you know, is it good stuff? Or is it, you don't have to do this. Somewhere else is better. Or that sort of nagging stuff. And lastly, as Ted, I think, was sharing, the matter of yielding yourself. We know about yielding ourselves to good, to bad, but we can also yield ourselves to good. That's right. When you have those prompts of the Lord, yield yourself to those. And back to the tricky dogs, I would have maybe, the illustration's fine as you presented it, but I think of it a little bit differently. It's two poles, and you may not have a strong pull toward the good. In fact, you might have a stronger pull toward what's not good. But the thing is, if you keep yielding to the weak pull toward the good, it'll keep getting stronger, and the battle keep getting weaker. Mm-hmm. Yield to what's good. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, including the good ones. Take them, yield to them. Thank you.
Amen. Ian?
I would like to thank you, Brian, for the message this morning. It touches very close to home. This past week, I've been thinking a lot about what are our thoughts. How do we think about God? How close do we draw to Him? A lot of it has to do with what we think. I find myself regularly thinking, okay, God, what would you have for me today? Or, What do you want to teach me out of this? Or something like that. Every day of the week, it just comes, and I just think about it. I pray. And this past week, it was greatly impressed on me. I was thinking about stony ground out of the sower, the parable of the sower. And that was pretty much all I was thinking about, because I realized at work during the rainstorms that we get, it's amazing how fast the rainstorms come and disappear in that stony ground on the driveway or whatever. The rain will come, it'll be wet, 10 minutes later it will be dry. But then I can go out back to the cornfield. There will be standing water an hour later. And I began to think about it and realize that so much of our lives can be shown by how long how much we retain God's Word in our hearts. And I started thinking about it a little deeper and reading out of Matthew 13. And I'll just read it a bit. I have some applications. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. This reminds me of my parents, very much so. They were not rooted in God's word. They don't have an understanding. They received the seed. It was good. It sprung, had fruit. A little bit. But then someone else came by and had something that looked better. And they fell for it. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That to me is almost exactly what Brian was saying. And I think so often our hearts are stony. We receive God's word, and it makes some good impact on us for a week or two, but then it drains away. Somehow we lose that. and we start withering up again. And I think it's going to be very crucial for persecution that we have a firm foundation in God's Word. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's just like the prodigal son. He had riches, he had things that he saw that looked much better, a glimmer of light that seemed to draw him closer to the world, and he fell for it. And then, verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Are we bearing fruit? Are our lives witness that we have soil that God can use and that he can plant his word into? Thank you, Brian.
Amen. Brother Ephraim.
Brother Merv just really got my mind whirring with that children's lesson. When you put that math problem up, 2 plus 2 equals 3. And I was just thinking about that for a long time. How many of us, anybody here that works at a business, tomorrow morning you go to work and you decide that from now on, I'm just going to make up my math as I go. And if I want 2 plus 2 to equal 3, that's fine. If I want it to equal anything else, that's fine too. No absolute. Now, if we take a society that takes away moral absolutes and absolute truths, does away with that, and says from now on 2 plus 2 can equal 3, can equal whatever else we decide it equals, you could just expect that there will be a landslide into all kinds of social ills. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing.
Yep.
And unless the world changes at its core and recognizes that there's an absolute truth outside of ourself that we must bow to, that we must adhere to, that we must confess, it's just going to catapult into further destruction.
Right.
But we as the people of God can have a totally different story. God has given us absolute truth, and Brian just kept building off of that. My mind just kept going with that too. Are we able, are we willing to, if God says 2 plus 2 equals 4, then that's what it is, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to operate on whatever God says it is. And of course, that's speaking of all kinds of other things, spiritual things, truth, whatever God has spoken, that's what it is. And to take that discipline and to order my mind in yoing down whatever God has said, that's what it is, that's what I'm going to believe, that's what I'm going to build my life off of that. That's where spiritual prosperity can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we start going down that route of, it's just whatever I feel like, it's whatever I want it to be, destruction.
Yep.
And quickly. So may the Lord help us to just acknowledge all that he has said, all that he has given us. And that's what it means to confess the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said that if we confess him, he will confess us unto the Father and unto the angels. So to confess the Lord Jesus is so much more than just have his name come across our tongue. But if it comes across our tongue and it's from a heart that's genuine, then our life will also agree with everything that he said. 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's not anything else. And in all kinds of moral issues and everything has to do with God, whatever he says, that's what it is. And I'm going to build my life on it.
Amen. God said it, and that settles it, right? All right, Brother Kent in the back.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the brothers that have shared today as well. I had come prepared to go up for the sharing time, but part of what I was wanting to share was going to be to the brother Ed Millers and to Sister Heidi, and at that time I didn't think I saw them. And so I thought, well, I'll just not do this. And having listened to Brother Brian, I hope that this is adds to what he has shared. Back in 1860, there were two ships that collided out on Lake Michigan, and one of those ships listed for a while and then fell apart, and people were drowning. But some of these folks were drifting to the shore. And there's a man by the name of Edward Spencer, and he was attending a college at the time. He knew how to swim. And so he jumped into the water, and he rescued some people and swam back to the shore and realized, oh, this break tide is really going to tear me apart. And so he had some folks tie a rope to him, and then he kept going out to rescue people, and then the folks on the rope would pull him back. And then he had risked going out, and apparently he saved between 17 and 18 people until he finally collapsed of exhaustion. His brother, Will, was also there, and when his brother woke up, the first thing he said to his brother Will is, "Will, did I do my full duty? Mm-hmm. Did I do my best?" And I'm thinking Brother Brian sharing about what it is that we are to be doing. We don't have time to be doing anything less than our best.
That's right.
There was a man down in Texas. He was attending a Christian school. His name actually was Ensign Young. And in 1924, he had heard this story about what Edward Spencer had done. And he composed a song. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses of it. He said, "I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus, who died upon that cruel, cruel tree. I think of his sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. I wonder if I've cared enough for others, or have I let them die all alone? Have I led a wanderer to the Savior? The seed of precious life have I sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained that I have helped free? I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus, for he has done so very much for me." And when I go to work every day, I drive past Park Place Automotive there in Akron. And occasionally they have this sign there that says, "It's all about Jesus." And I think, what a wonderful question for us to ponder every morning. And prayerfully, we all do. But to make that public statement in this county is probably easy. It's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But to ourselves, is it really all about Jesus?
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And that's a beautiful word, Sister Heidi, to send you with.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.